Greetings and welcome back to another ongoing series of Shiurim on Daf Yomi. My name is Yitzhak Et Shalom, and today we will be studying the end of the fourth parak of Masechet Nedarim, beginning at the bottom of Mem Gimel Amud Bet. And a quick look at our Gemara indicates that we have very short texts coming up, meaning what we refer to as short dapim, because there is a lot of commentary. And we are picking up in the middle of a discussion about analyzing the dispute between Rabbi Yossi and Rabbanan as to whether a madir can benefit a mudar by declaring an object hefker and then having the mudar pick it up directly. Rabbi Yossi prohibited. Originally, we took Rabbi Yochanan's position that Rabbi Yossi thought inherently it was a problem because there is no such thing as a domain of hefker, and when you put something in hefker, it remains yours until somebody else picks it up. And Rabbanan disagreed. Rava finally seemed to disprove it and then said that Rabbi Yossi's concern was not inherent but precautionary to guard against something akin to the Matnat Beit Choron, which we'll get to later on. And now the Gemara seems to take a step back and go back to Rabbi Yochanan's position. Tanya, hamafkir et sadeh, if somebody declares his field hefker, kol shloshem yachol lachzor bo, he can change his mind for 3 days. In other words, if nobody picks it up for those 3 days, he can say, you know what, I'm taking back the hefker and it's mine again. Kan ve'elach ein yachol lachzor bo. From after the 3 days, he can no longer retract it. What he must do is himself go and claim it, and then it's his. Now, Amarte, that's the Resha. Amarte Zus has said that Zumuf Keratli Machad Shabbat Achat, the Chodesh Achad Shana Achad Shavua Achad. If he said, he put a time limit on it, said this field is going to be Mufkar for a day, for a week, for a month, for a year, for 7 years, Ad Shalo Zachaba Benhu Ben Acher Yachol Achzor Bo. As long as he or someone else has not claimed the field, he can change his mind. In other words, he could change his mind well beyond 3 days. That's somewhat obvious. Once somebody has claimed it, he can't change his mind. In other words, somebody can't claim it from Africa, and then he turns around and said, I didn't mean it. That doesn't work. However, what seems to arise from this brighta is something of a mixed bag based on what we saw earlier. The Resha seems to support the position against Rabbi Yossi, which is that after 3 days, even if no one claims it, it becomes part of the domain known as Hefker, and you can't change your mind. On the other hand, the Seifa that allows us to, even after a long time, to pull it back, seems to support Rabbi Yossi. Resha Rabbanan v'Seifa Rabbi Yossi. So we have two different approaches to answering this. Ula and Rish Lakish. Amar Ula, Seifa Nami Rabbananhi. Ula says the entire bright is Rabbanan. Even the Seifa that says that you can hold on to it for a while is Rabbanan. And let's see why. Iach Yamayach Lozachaba Vinhu Ben Acher Yachol Achzorbo. So why are you allowed to change your mind even after many days? Shani Shana V'Shavua Delo Shchichi. The idea is that setting up a timeline, and this is a little bit misleading because Lo Shchichi is something we would normally apply to a Gzeirah, and that's not the issue here. So you have to interpret it as follows. The idea of declaring something hefker for a particular time limit is very uncommon, and therefore, since the fellow went ahead and did it, it's clear he's trying to hold on to his rights for longer, and therefore he is saying, basically, for that duration of time, I put in hefker, but I want to be able to retract it if need be. So that's exactly what he had in mind. Therefore, Rabbanan would agree in that case. Now, that's Ula. Resh Lakish Amar, I mean, the Seif Rabbi Yossi, Resh Anam Rabbi Yossi. He uses what seems to be the inverse rhetorical analysis that Ula said. Ula seemed to say, since the Resh is Rabbanan, the Seif must be Rabbanan, and he explains it away. Resh Lakish says, since the Seif must be Rabbi Yossi, who allows you to retract it at any time, the Resh must also be Rabbi Yossi. So why does Rabbi Yossi not allow you to retract it even after 3 days if Rabbi Yossi says there is no such thing as Rishut HaHefker? The answer is to Lod Lishtakach Torah HaHefker, so that the laws of Hefker shouldn't be forgotten, because otherwise you could be Mafker something, and then you could just draw it back anytime you want. So he said, therefore, Midrabanan, we put a 3-day limit on it. Now that means, though, that Midoraita, it's not Mufkar. Now that has a huge impact on the laws of Trumot and Masrot, because if you have a field and you declare it Hefker, it is no longer obligated in Trumot and Masrot. However, if the way that we're analyzing it now, Rabbi Yossi believes that really, midoraita, it is a hefker. And midrabanan, it is not hefker, you still own it, but midrabanan, we're going to call it hefker so people won't forget about the laws of hefker. Therefore, you have a field that midoraita is chayav in shumot masrot, and midrabanan, you're going to say, is not. That's a little bit of a problem. Let's see. Yachi, afil mi orishonam midahave hefker. So let's start with Rabbi Yossi's opinion. Why does Rabbi Yossi say that the hefker works? Because we don't want to forget the laws of hefker. So if that's the case, then how come there's a 3-day lag time? How come it isn't immediate? It's in order to as a precaution against those deceptive people, those frauds, who are mafkir their field, and the next day take it back. Here's what happens. It's harvest time. So for the day of the critical harvest, they're mafkir the field. There's no trumot and masrot. It's all scot-free. No taxes to be paid on it. And then the next day, they retract their hefker. All right? So in order to make sure that that doesn't happen, we say that for the first 3 days, it is not hefker. Right? But nonetheless, after 3 days, you can't retract it. And that's again to make sure that you don't forget the laws of hefker, which means after 3 days, really, according to Rabbi Yossi, the way we're analyzing it now, it really still belongs to you. And it's still chayav and trumot masrot. But midrabanan, we're going to call it hefker, so you shouldn't forget the laws of hefker. Aval da'oraita, the law of a hefker. Then you have a problem because you may end up separating tithes from that which is chiyuv to cover that which is really potter and vice versa. Because, for instance, if you say this stuff is really hefker, but I'm going to be a good guy and I'll use it to take truma to masrot on something else that is also really patur, well, that's a little bit strange. But what would really be strange is that you would not separate proper trumot to masrot for this field because you think it hefker. The answer is, of course you're going to take maser from this field, and you're going to do it within the field itself because no other field is of the same status. Because really we know the field is not hefker, according to Rabbi Yossi, the way we're explaining it now. Okay, Meitaveh. Now we have a challenge against this approach, against Rish Lakish. Hamafkir at Karmo, if a guy declares his vineyard to be hefker. Ula Shachar Amadu Bitsro, the idea is that he was mafkir at night, and the next morning he got up and started harvesting it, meaning he's reclaiming it, as it were, Chayav v'peret uva olot v'shikcho v'peya. Peret and olot are forms of leket, the grapes that are left behind. And shikha and peyar are things that apply in every field, which are the forgotten sheaf and the corner, etc. Those are all chayiv in a vineyard. Upatur min ha-maaser. You're exempt from maaser because during part of the time it was hefker, which means this sounds like the overnight hefker was good enough. And you just got through telling me that you need a 3-day hefker. Now, bishtuma la'ula. Ula can explain this well. Because d'rabbanan k'tani la, first of all, it's taught by the rabbanan, not by Rabbi Yossi. And they're just teaching on the da'oraita level. Because on the da'oraita level, the rabbanan say hefker takes place immediately. But why do they have the lag time of 3 days to prevent against the frauds? And therefore, mi da'oraita, this stuff is patur from mina maser, even an overnight thing. El Resh Lakish, amai patur mina maser. But according to Resh Lakish, this field should be chayav in maser. Because according to Resh Lakish, he'll explain that the Rabbanan say that there's a 3-day, that the entire Braita is Rabbi Yossi, and Rabbi Yossi says that it's still yours. The answer is, Amalachaki, Amriana the Rabbi Yossi. Resh Lakish will have a very simple explanation. He'll say, when did I say that there's a 3-day lag time? That's according to Rabbi Yossi. Ha, Rabbanan hi. And this teaching is the teaching of the Rabbanan who say there is no lag time. You're mafkir something, it's immediately hefker. You claim it back the next day by working it. That's fine. And now it is yours, but you're getting it from hefker. And therefore, since during part of the time of the harvest, it was a hefker, therefore there's no masrot. That's fine. Ibaitema, we have another possible answer, which is hada afkere ba'anpe train, hada afkere ba'anpe tlata. It depends if you declare the hefker in the presence of 2 witnesses or 3. And we'll see why that's the case. Damar b'yochem shumar b'chumar b'yochem tzadak b'yochem said in the name of his Rebbe, call him afkir b'fnei shloshah v'hefker. Anyone who declares hefker in the presence of 3, that's a valid hefker. So that means that when you declare it in the presence of three, it's a valid hefker, and even if the next morning you start working the vineyard, then it becomes yours anew from hefker, and it's exempt from asrot, because during part of that time it was unowned. However, Yochanan, quoting his Rebbe, says if you declared hefker in front of two, it's not fully hefker. And that's where we might want to institute the idea of waiting 3 days, etc., in which case we would say that if that's such a case with the vineyard, it would not be, it would be chayav masrot, but we're going to say that the case was where there were three. Now, parenthetically, within that approach of Rabbi Yochanan, there's a dispute, and that's Rabbi Shimon Levi. Shimon Levi Amar, Dvar Torah filu be'achad ha-behefker, mi da'oraita, one person being present is enough for hefker. Matam amru b'shlosha, so why did the rabbis say you need three? Rabbi Yochanan said the reason the rabbis say you need three is because you need three, because hefker is almost like a ma'aseh beit din. And therefore, without three, it's not really a proper hefker. It's just kind of a disowning, and therefore, we might have to wait 3 days. But when you declare it in front of three, it takes effect immediately. But Rabbi Shimon Levi says, why did they demand three? So that it was simply a practical issue. You want to have one guy pick it up, and the other two will testify to the fact that he claimed that he bought it. In other words, we want to make sure, Shimon Levi says, the reason the rabbis insisted on having three present for a hefker was to make sure that there will be no disputes later. And since one guy is going to pick it up and claim it, and the other two will testify to that, nobody will have any claims or counterclaims later about who owns it. In any case, we have completed our parak, Hadranalach Bein Hamudar, Ein Bein Hamudar, which dealt almost exclusively with the relationship between a mudar and a madir during the time that they are separated from each other via neder, and how they have to behave. And Amir Tashem, in the next podcast, we will begin the fifth parak, parak HaShutafin, which will take us further into the nature of the relationship between the two. Everyone should have a wonderful day.